Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
When I started studying the Bible, first thing I wanted to read was what Jesus had to say. And as I started studying and I started reading the red letters, you know, in the Bible, and some of you have done that, I have red letters in my Bible, then the more that I studied it, I realized that the black letters were the words of God too. And I realized the entire Bible was the Word of God. And the comma was in the right place. And the period was there for a reason. And every jot and tittle was the Word of God. So when I started reading what we would call the stories in the Bible, they became more real because of the fact that I knew that the story was told exactly the way it should be told. And as I started reading the parallel stories in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I saw the same story, only I saw them, Matthew from this side, and Mark from this side, and Luke from this side. And I caught on that God was telling us the entire story from every vantage point that we could see it from. There's a couple stories in the Bible that are probably the greatest stories that Jesus ever told, or to me they are. One was about the prodigal son, how that boy took off, wanted to do his own things, found out that his dad was right, that faith was right. And you know the great thing about that story is that boy came home. It's an amazing story. But there's another one in the book of Luke chapter 10 that Jesus tells. And we're living in a day of questions. We've been brought up to question everything. If you don't think so, raise a teenager. I mean, question everything. Over in the 25th verse, there's a young lawyer that came to Jesus. And that young lawyer had an outstanding question, as most lawyers have. They are trained how to ask questions. This lawyer came to Jesus, and he said this. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, tested him, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, I don't know about you, but as I read that, a couple things stood out to me. One was, he wanted to work his way to eternal life. He wanted to make sure that he did something to get there. Because after all, you reap what you sow, right? You got to pay your way, right? But then he said, inherit. And the word inherit and what must I do don't coincide. If you inherit something, you didn't work for it. It's a gift. It's given to you. Everybody says, boy, I'd like to inherit. Well, you got to have somebody that's worth something to give you something, okay? But here's this young lawyer saying, what must I do to inherit? So he was stumbling over the same thing that the church has been stumbling over for 2,000 years. Do we work our way to heaven, or is heaven by grace? In faith in God. Which is it? Jesus said the law would not be done away with, but he would fulfill every bit of the law. I was kind of interested in what Jesus had to say about this when I read that verse. And here's what Jesus had to say. What is written in the law? What is your reading to it or of it? I like how Jesus answered a question with a question. Jesus could always one-up one because his question went deeper than their question. He said, you're a young lawyer, probably right out of law school, maybe graduated the top of his class, maybe just passed the bar, and he's going to put this teacher to a test, and the teacher puts him to a test. He said,
How do you read the law? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said unto him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you'll live. But he wanting to justify himself. See, we always want to justify ourselves. We want to say, well, I'm better than my neighbor. I lived a better life. I'm doing it better than he's doing it or she's doing it. And we compare ourselves with ourselves, and that's sin alone. Then Jesus answered unto him, and here is the story that I think is one of the greatest stories in all of the Bible that's ever been written. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Every word in the Bible is in the right place. This man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. I've been on that road. It's a treacherous road. But whenever you go down from where God has you, you're going to fall among thieves. You're going to get beat up. You're going to be taken advantage of. If you are in church today and you're a Christian today, let me tell you something, teenagers. If you've got it right today, and Satan lies to you, and he tells you to go down and get into the things of the world will steal everything you have. Ask some drug addict out begging on the street because they can't get a job. No one will hire them. God can save us and turn that life around, but never go down, never go back to where the things of the world, the devil wants to offer you. Always reach forward, always go higher, and say, like every Christian should say, I'm going to go up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Look unto God, looking up unto the hills. That's what the Bible teaches. Christians, we are on a walk. Pastor Eric preached a couple weeks ago, we're going north. That's up. No matter where you're at, that's up. And we're all going that direction. I don't know if you noticed, but Pastor Eric and I are not alike. But we love the same God. We preach the same Bible. We trust the same word. And you know what I've noticed? I came here almost 35 years ago now. And I wasn't good at everything. Some of you think, because I've been sick, I'm good at everything. Just watch, as soon as I get better, you'll hear them criticizing it again. No. But God brought people around me that could do things that I wasn't very good at. God filled in the gaps over 34 years with people that knew what they were doing and how to do it. Pastor Eric, over the years, God will fill in those things. I just want to be honest with you. I was never very good at calling to nursing homes. I did it, but I was never very good at it. Pastor Cade take electric piano and go in there and sit with him and play the piano for him, sing. He was really good at it. God sent him here so that the people would be ministered to all the way around. Somebody put that table in the way today. Did you notice that? I tried to get down there. Always go up, always. Now here's the rest of the story. Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road. We saw him, he passed by on the other side. Priest, a religious leader. Religious leaders are supposed to know that they're just supposed to help people. But this priest walked by on the other side. And you know, we always try to think, what was he thinking? He's saying the guy got himself in trouble, let him get himself out. He shouldn't have been here at night anyway. I am too busy. I've got a meeting that I've got to be to at 5 o'clock, and it's 4 o'clock, and I'm just walking, maybe in a hurry. Religious leaders are not supposed to walk by when they see a need. They're supposed to reach out when they see a need. Some of you are here last night because we support the Toledo Rescue Mission, and you saw the people that were here, and you saw some of the lives have been changed by that. We must continue to reach out into the community and help. Jesus said, the priest. This wasn't the man that had been beat up. This was Jesus saying, the priest walked by. So Christians, we're supposed to do something. And he said, and the Levite walked by and came and looked and passed by on the other side. But here's a Samaritan who was lower middle class and looked down upon back during Jesus' time, and Jesus lifted him right up first class. You know, Jesus can do that. Sometimes we get this idea we're not much because we don't have what so-and-so has. You know, you got a heartbeat, and that heartbeat may be stronger than so-and-so has. You may have something much better than they have. You don't know what they're dealing with. But one thing about it, if God chooses you and God points to you and God lays his finger upon your shoulder, he's going to use you. And he said, here is a Samaritan, even though everybody was looking down on him. He passed, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. You know what compassion is? It isn't a head thing. It isn't a hand thing. It's a heart thing. See, Christians are givers. We're givers. Pastor Eric and I were talking even this week. I said, you know, everyone comes to church, they have a need. They have a need for a church that preaches the gospel. They have a need for friendship. They have a need for Christ. They have a need for, and we meet their need. But we turn every taker into a giver. No one sits in church too long until they start giving. They start helping. They start reaching out. Because we have compassion. So he went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn to take care of him. He sacrificed. He walked, and the other man rode. When we give, it costs us something. We don't give just out of our riches. We give out of ourselves. We reach out and we help. What are you doing to help? Where are you walking by? Listen to Jesus' answer. And the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. He said, if it costs more, I'm not expecting you to take care of it. I'll take care of it. I'm not going to just bring them and drop them off. I'm going to follow up and make sure the job is done. So which of these three do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said to him who shows mercy on him, then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Who is your neighbor? Is it the person who lives next to you? Is it a person that you know their name? Is it a family member? Could be. But here was a person he did not know, a person that fell in his path, and whatsoever was in his path, he went out of his way to make sure that the path was cleared and to make sure that the man was taken care of and to make sure that he was followed up on. That's your neighbor. That's what we do as Christians. We reach out beyond ourselves. We give of ourselves. It's a heart thing. You cannot do that without being born again. They said, then, preacher, Jesus was telling him, you got to work for salvation. No, Jesus is saying you can't work for salvation. Jesus said, you can't do that on your own. You're too busy. You're going to walk past just like the priest did. You're going to walk past just like the Levite did. You can't do it on your own. It takes a change of heart from the inside, the grace of God that works through you where you see the need. And God said, I will give you abundance. He said, so that you can fill the need. Why do you all give so much? Why are you all going to give more next year? I think $2,000 more. Why are you going to do that? Because you're reaching out. You're reaching beyond. That's why. Because you know that it's from within here that we give, that we can't outgive God. We know that we can't outwork God. It's a heart thing. And when Christ changes our heart, we're no longer selfish. We're no longer trying to serve our own will. We're trying to get Jesus Christ's name on everything and on everyone. It's the greatest story I ever heard, because it talks about somebody that got beat up, beat down, needed help, someone that reached out with help from their heart, from compassion, did what was right, got the man right, got him back on his feet, back headed north again, Pastor Eric. Folks, that's what we need to do, the church. We just all need to come together and say, you know what? Things change. People are different. But what we love the same God, we love the same Bible, we love the same people. And we're going to do all that we can do, give all that we can give, in order to make sure that Heritage is a lighthouse 50 years from now. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. I want you to hold hands with the person next to you. Just reach out and touch somebody in your areas. Just reach out and touch somebody. Unity comes from a heart that is set on God. The works will follow because we have the heart of God. You're not just responsible for you, but you're responsible for that person you're touching beside you. And the person they're touching beside them. And the person they're touching beside them. Our Heavenly Father, we reach up our hand to you that you might touch our hand. And Lord, through that, we might touch each and every one in this church. And as we walk out of here today, united in Christ, that we're able to touch the world, that they might see who Jesus is. Lord, we know that the bottom line about a church is living the Christian life and bringing holiness to a community that's dying and going to hell. Lord, if we do not stand, who will? If we do not speak, who will? If we do not live the Christian life, who will? And God, we can't do it without you. We're not disciplined enough, but through the power of your Holy Spirit, you've already overcome. And just as you said in the first part of chapter 10, when you sent out the 70, even the demons listened to them. But you said, don't rejoice at that, but rejoice because your name is written in heaven, in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's what we rejoice in today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30. At 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.